Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord, everybody. You are now on the Healing Hour, and I am your host, Minister Arthur Burgess III, and you are connected to PKN Network, that is Purpose Kingdom Network, on blogtalkradio.com. I just want to let you guys know this is the 970th episode, and we are on blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. And I need you guys to call in. If you call in at 319-527-6091, that's 319-527-6091. I believe that God is so awesome and so amazing, and he's doing such a great work now in this generation. And I just want to share something with you, just a word that came to me, and I just want to share it with you. And it is in the book of Philippians, and it is Philippians 4, and we're going to start at verse 6, and it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Tonight we are talking about a special topic that deals with the mind. This is a special topic that deals with the mind. We are living in a time where depression, anxiety, frustrations are at an all-time high. People are angry. They are tired. They are dealing with things internally with no external or internal outlet. And we have to figure out how to heal the people of God. And it's a topic of depression. So I believe that God is really dealing in a special way with this area, and for some reason, if I can be completely honest with you, the church has been behind when it comes to depression. We have not quite been at the mark or made the mark when it comes to not just talking about depression, but handling it, teaching people how to get through it, how to diagnose it, what signs to look out for. Because guess what? If we're going to be completely honest, we cannot always say it's the devil and then shout over it. We have to come up with a way to fix it. We have to be all things to all men. We have to give an answer for our faith. That's what the Bible tells us. So when it comes to the area of depression and anxiety, we have to be able to give an answer. And I believe that the church has an answer. We just have to find it in the Word. And it's amazing because God gave this study to me maybe 2 years ago. And for the past year and a half, I've been going to different churches, talking about depression and anxiety, talking about how we handle it, how we deal with it, how we get through it, and really what we need to do when this thing occurs. Because sometimes we need a little bit more. And when we open the Word of God, it says that whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, whatever things are righteous, it just says whatever these things are, that's what our mind is supposed to be on. So when our mind isn't on that and our mind is on something else, how do we function? How do we deal? How do we cope? So we are going to learn how to deal with the mind when it comes to depression. So just a few days ago on Monday, I teach a Bible study every other Monday. We had a special guest from the Great U University. Her name is Tasha Neek, and she was a special guest on the show, where we were talking about having this Bible study twice a month, and we were talking about how, you know, we were going to make it an intimate home Bible study. And it started out with about 6 people. The next thing you know, it was 13. Next thing you know, it was 25. And it just keeps growing. And God is really blessing us, because I'm doing a series on a teaching called Saved for What? A lot of us, we get saved because somebody told us, hey, you don't want to go to hell. Or, you know, if you want to go to heaven, you know, you got to get saved. And salvation is so much more than that. It's so much more personal and more intimate than that. Salvation is about relationship. It's about rekindling. It's about reconnecting. And it's about getting back what you lost, a relationship with God. We are studying that, but this past Monday, I got off course. Because I saw the atmosphere of the people, I saw the hearts of the people, and I saw that they were dealing with a lot, and they needed an answer. And, you know, as a minister, I've learned not to always preach to people's emotions. A lot of times, you know, some may always talk about, you know, how they feel and what, you know, and what's going on and dealing with a situation. But what I've learned in the Word of God is that the Bible says that the heart of a man is wicked in all his ways. So sometimes feeding the heart, feeding the anxiety, feeding the frustration, even with spiritualism, even with word, even with scripture, can sometimes be a bad thing. And you know, we can't always, you know, sensationalize struggle. So sometimes, you know, when people tell me about what they're going through and how they're feeling, instead of, you know, soaking and trying to go along with the process, I begin to first encourage, and then I show them how to maintain in the process. But on this particular day, the Holy Spirit just showed me that people are hurting. So while we're in this home, I told them, I said, I need each of you. We're going to get our Bibles and we're going to look at some scriptures. And one of the scriptures that we looked at was Proverbs 3. And it was Proverbs 3. 5 and 6, and it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. It is a beautiful scripture. It is a scripture that is full of hope, that is full of purpose and direction. But if I can be the first one to let you know, it is a hard scripture to do. It is not always easy. And if we can be completely honest, when it comes to dealing with God, we have trust issues. Because our thought process on what we think God should do and how we think God should do it always interferes on what God thinks he should do and how God thinks he should do it. And we create a way to lean on our own understanding without ever understanding and consulting God. And sometimes that will build anxiety and it will build depression. Because when you're fighting the battle, trusting God sounds good, but sometimes it doesn't feel like God is fighting with us. And let's be completely honest. If we're going to be believers who are honest about how it feels to be a Christian, in some aspects, this walk of life becomes lonely. This walk of life, it gets down sometimes. But the word already told us, it said, the rain will fall on the just as well as the unjust. You will have a moment that will not always seem fair, even when you're doing the right thing. The Bible also tells us that many are the afflictions of the righteous. So when you decided to sign on the dotted line and say, I receive Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, he is the Lord of my life, you also decided to take on the afflictions that come with being righteous. And honestly, I'm a little terrified of a Christian who says they haven't been through anything. I'm a little scared if I find someone who says, I walked with Christ and never went through anything, because I really wonder, how saved are you? We are going to be faced with so many things, and it is up to us to maintain the faith. The scripture tells us, it says that we are to press on to the mark of the high calling. We have to press. It didn't tell us to run fast. It didn't tell us that it was going to come easy. Pressing is hard. And there are times where we're going to have feelings and emotions and thoughts, and we have to bring them together. We have to learn to subject our minds to the will of God. Well, I'm going to show you, we're going to read the word, and we're going to see how we as believers should understand and deal with depression and anxiety. Let us look to 1 Kings 19. If we're going to talk about one of the greatest men in the Bible, somebody who I look to and I look for answers to, and I kind of study a lot, because the way he lived his life was extremely transparent, but not just transparent. The way he lived his life, he had so much faith that he did things that nobody else in the Bible could do. He made moves and he made decisions based off of faith and faith alone, with no type of idea that God was really going to do it. He just went out and he just did what God called him to do, and it was amazing. So I'm going to share this story with you. I'm going to paraphrase a little bit because the wording is a little heavy, and then we're going to see what God did with this special person, and his name is Elijah. So we're looking at 1 Kings 19. And before I get to 1 Kings 19, I want you to understand something. I'm reading you a story after Elijah. Elijah had a fight. He had I like to call it a God-off with the house of Baal. And he challenged these prophets of Baal to had their God create fire. Something simple. No big deal. Something simple. Something light. And these men began to chant and cut themselves and lay before, and some gave sacrifices just so their God can make fire. And Elijah, a little bit arrogant, a little bit cocky, says, "Are you done?" And he set stones, smooth stones, and stones don't set on fire. And he called fire from heaven, and the stones set on fire. And he slew the prophets of Baal. Now, here's what I want to show you, that Elijah was at the top of his game. He was at his best. This was the pinnacle of him being a prophet called by God, and he was literally at the point where he was powerful and strong, but something happened. 1 Kings 19 verses 1 says, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elisha had done, and withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." In other words, the men that you killed, the same thing that you did to them, I'm going to do to you. The exact same thing that you did to them, I'm going to do to you. And because he heard this news, the Bible says that Elijah left. Verse 3 says, "And when he saw that he arose and went for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, It is enough now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." Elijah at the top of his game, at a pinnacle in life, showing the power of God, was already done with the situation. And here comes Jezebel. Threatened to kill him. Now, if he just got finished killing a bunch of men with one sword, why is he so scared of Jezebel? I mean, obviously he's already, you know, showing her that he's capable of handling anything. What makes this so much different? And the Bible says, very simple, it is enough my life, for I am not better than my father's. Basically, what he said was, I don't know if I can do this. I'm no better than the people before me. God, how can I overcome this? How can I beat this? He doubted. He doubted his call. He doubted what he was capable of doing, and that doubt caused him to want to take his own life. So he said, God, take my life. And we are dealing with the largest suicide rate that has ever been on this planet Earth. People are killing themselves. They absolutely feel like they have no reason to live. And we as the church have to figure out what to do about this. And the reality is that as believers, when we face a challenge, it is not the challenge that frustrates us. It's not the challenge that bothers us. It's the feeling of having conquered a situation. And it comes back. And we have to deal with something else. Again, when we feel like we're a woman, we absolutely cannot catch a break. As soon as we get finished one thing, we're back at another. A constant cycle of tribulation, a constant cycle of what do I do next? How do I survive this? And sometimes, if we're completely honest, we just want to say, God, I'm tired. I'm done. And I've been in this situation. There's been plenty of times when I've explained on the show, I've said that, my wife and I, we weren't able to have kids. We had two miscarriages. God blessed us with twins. And I've also told you guys about when my daughter, my youngest daughter, the twin, she was born. Her stomach and her intestines didn't connect. And they had to perform surgery on her. And the surgery meant that for 3 months, she was eating through an IV. And the IV was going through her leg, and we couldn't touch her, and she was in a glass box for 3 months. And at that time, my wife and I, we thought this was over, okay? We beat this. We overcame that. All right, God, we're done, right? We're done. And it turns out, here comes something else. And there's a moment where we say, God, I'm tired. I thought we won. Why are we dealing with something again? But if we go into the scripture, it says that, and we're reading at verse 5, and it says, and as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, arise and eat. And he looked and beheld there was a cake baking on the coals and a cruse of water at his head. And he did eat and drink and laid him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. While going through all this tribulation and dealing with all the things that he was going through, God sent provisions. He sent an angel, and the angel fed him and gave him water, and the angel began to help him and provided ways to strengthen him. But here comes God, and he says, and God puts him in a position to understand, just because you're frustrated, just because you're hurting, just because you're down, it does not mean you get to stop. You got another journey. And I'm telling somebody right now, I know you're dealing with a lot. I know you have a lot on your plate. I know you're frustrated. I know you feel down. But don't stop. Don't stop. Let's keep going. And he arose, and he did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the mount of God. And he came hither unto a cave and lodged there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what doest thou here, Elijah? And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. And what he's saying is, he's saying God saw him in a cave, and God began to talk to him, and he said, God, I'm jealous, because everybody else done gave up on you. Everybody else that stopped giving, and they gave up the altars, and they stopped doing what you told them to do. But here am I doing what you told me to do, doing the work, and I got a death threat. And I know sometimes we may complain and we may tell God, hey, you know, everybody else out here doing whatever they want and living however they want and doing whatever they think they can do. And here I am obeying your word. I'm following what you told me to do. And even though I'm following what you told me to do, I'm going through this. We sometimes say, God, what's the point? Why am I doing the right thing and suffering? And everybody does the wrong thing, and it seems like that life is all right. But I am going to tell you guys something. The Bible says that after sin, death follows. So guess what, y'all? There are some people who can sin all they want, and it seems like everything is fine. And it seems like everything is okay. It seems like everything is fine. But at the end of all that sin is death. There's no way to get out of it. There's no way to get around it. If you sin and you live a lifestyle of sin, if you practice a lifestyle that is not pleasing to the will of God, the end result is death. So sometimes it's hard to think about our future when our present is smacking us in the face. But God is talking to Elijah, and he says, why are you in this cave? And he says, I'm so tired of doing the right thing and still having to suffer while everybody's doing the wrong thing, and it seems like nothing is going on. When we look to if we look to verse 11, he says, and he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after that, it was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. The Lord was not in the fire. And here's what I want to show you. Sometimes when we're down, we look for a lot of things. We look for the earthquake. We look for the wind. We look for the fire. In other words, we look for a lot of substances that will fill the gap or fill our need. We look for drugs. We look for other people. And sometimes we look for church. And the reality is we have to look for God. Because the next scripture says this. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire, and after the fire, a still small voice. And it was so, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood entering in the cave. In of the cave, and behold, there came a voice unto him and said, what doest thou here, Elijah? So what I'm telling you right now is, God may seem like he is in so many different things, but all you got to hear is the small voice. Stop looking to everything else and just look for his voice. If you're dealing with something, understand that the drugs won't help, the social media rants won't help, the other people won't help. Sex does not help. Alcohol does not help. Only thing that's going to soothe you is the voice of God. As the scripture goes on, Elijah, after hearing the voice of God, went back into the cave. And I laugh at this because a lot of times people are like, well, he heard the voice of God. Well, how many times have we heard the voice of God and we went right back to the thing that God told us to get out of? Elijah heard the voice of God and he went right back to the cave. And then we read, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thy altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword, and I, even I only, am left, and they seek my life to take it away. No, I'm not reading the same scripture over again. He said it twice. He came to God with the same complaint. There are times when we make comparisons and we think that the grass is greener on the other side, or we think that somebody is doing something or getting something that we don't get, and we have no idea that God has a special thing, a special challenge with them, as well as a special challenge with us. We are not alone in what we do. So here comes Elijah telling God the same thing over again. And the Lord said unto him, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king of Syria. But they that wait upon the Lord, listen, sometimes we have to get in positions where God can tell us to do things. And we have to work even while we're hurting. And we have to wait for God to do what he said he would do even while we're hurting. Because guess what happens after Elijah did what God told him to do? Elijah met a man named Elisha. And Elisha was a wealthy man. His father was very wealthy. And Elijah himself was very wealthy. Elisha gave up his entire birthright to follow Elijah. And you know what the first thing Elijah did is he ran to him. He said, let me wash your hands. And at that time, washing someone's hands, washing someone's feet, implied servitude and it implied thanks and gratefulness. And I'm telling you right now, sometimes we just want to feel appreciated. And God gave him somebody who encouraged him, who lifted him up, who appreciated him, who was going to be with him through this journey. And they became great friends. Now, when God created Adam, God said it wasn't good for man to be alone. Let's create a helpmeet. Let's create help. It's not good for man to be alone. Let's give him help. And I'm telling you right now that loneliness is the tunnel that depression goes through. Isolation allows depression to surface. And we have to be able to connect. I'm going to go to, another scripture. We're going to look into the Word of God, and we're going to go to the body of Christ, and we're going to talk about what it means to be a part of the body of Christ, and that is 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to start at verse 12, and it says, for as the body is one and have many members, and all the members that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink unto one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not of the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of thee. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary, and those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need. But God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Here's how we deal with depression. Here's how we deal with anxiety. We understand how God operates. He operates through the body. It is through the body. The body is another word for community. When the spirit of depression, the mentality of depression, decides to haunt you or taunt you, you have a community of people who believe just like you, who are there to support you, who are there to help you. Because right now, even though you may seem like the uncomely part or the part that is lacking, God says the part that is lacking is the part that's the strongest. Why? Because the body has come together to make you stronger. What I'm trying to get someone to understand is that we cannot isolate ourselves. We cannot separate ourselves, because the eye is no good without the rest of the body. The ears are no good without the rest of the body. You cannot just be an eye and think that you're going to survive on your own. You need every part. And the trick of the enemy is to isolate you from everybody else so that you won't get what you need to overcome. So I'm telling you right now, there's somebody right now who is listening, who is suffering, who lacks understanding of how to deal with depression and anxiety. And it is that we must trust God through the process that He would give us people to help us with what we're dealing with. So my prayer is that we all find our relationship. We all find our relationship. We all find that person, those people who will wash our hands, who will take care of us when we're weak, who will help us withstand even when we don't feel like we can. I pray that God builds that community around us, that He builds that those friendships, those connections, those people around us, because one thing about the body is that every time you get a cut, the body heals itself. So guess what? Every time you cut, every time you bleed, every time you hurt, your community has to uplift you. So right now, there's somebody who's suffering. There's somebody who's hurting. There's somebody who is depressed, frustrated, full of anxiety. And we're going to pray for you. And we're going to pray that God begins to move you into the right direction to get that peace. And we're going to pray for those who do not have peace but are looking for peace. And the only way you're going to find that peace is when you start by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And it's real easy. All you have to do is first acknowledge that you are a sinner. that after acknowledging that you are a sinner, you recognize that Jesus Christ died for your sins and that he rose for your sins and you want him to be Lord of your life. Ask him to come into your heart to cleanse you and let him be the ruler of your life. You've tried your way. You've tried other people's way. You've tried what you saw on TV, what you saw on the internet, what you saw in magazines, what the doctor said. You tried all these things. And they didn't work. All those other things, they were earthquakes. They were fires. They were storms. But what we need is the voice of God. So I'm going to pray that somebody hear God's voice today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for those who are listening. We thank you for those who need a word, for those who need help, for those who are looking for healing, and they're still moving and they're still staying course. But God, they need a word. They need help. So God, right now, look once at your people. Touch your people. Talk to your people. Let them see your face. But God, give them a sense of community, a sense of love, a sense of joy, peace, and the type of peace that only is built through the connections of the body. We rebuke the enemy for trying to creep through our isolated moments, trying to creep through our lonely moments. And we acknowledge that loneliness, isolation, is a gateway. It is a open door for the enemy. So God, give us people that would be able to pray for us when we're lonely, who can talk to us when we're lonely, who can cheer us up, who can make us laugh, who can have a great conversation. God, you know, some things don't have to be so deep. God, we just need somebody to just be there. Provide those people. Provide the right people. Let us not look to the earthquakes. Let us not look to the fires. Let us not look to the windstorms. Let us look to your voice. And when we hear your voice, we're able to move because we know that in you we have our being. And we thank you for the souls that have come to Christ because we believe in PKN, the entire purpose for doing all of this is that one soul will be saved. And God, we thank you. And we honor you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I think. Oh, we have a caller. Caller, are you with us? Caller?
Yeah.
How are you? Hey,
how you doing?
Dang. What's your name, dude?
Michelle. Good evening.
All right. Good evening, Michelle. What's on your mind?
I was just listening. I came on a little bit late, but I was listening, and I'm really enjoying what you said, and it's hitting home because I suffer from anxiety.
Okay.
And, you know, sometimes I like you said, you know, we trying to do all the right things, and there's people out here who don't even go to church, they don't pray, they not doing right, and we like, why are we suffering, you know, so much? And it's like they getting away with murder. So sometimes I do be feeling that way, and it be like sometimes I just be ready to throw my towel in, but just when I'm ready to throw my towel in, you know, God always sends somebody, you know, right there. Like I have a morning time prayer line on Tuesdays and Thursdays that I get on. And this morning, it was having some technical difficulties. And around this afternoon, amazingly, she called me. And it was good that she did because I was starting to feel a little down. And she called me and she prayed with me and stuff like that.
That's awesome.
I'm gonna just say this much. I'm just grateful and thankful from where he brought me from to where I'm at now. And you know, I'm still growing, I'm still learning, but you know, I'm just thankful.
I'm not who I used to be. Amen. Amen. Here's what's so cool about God, right? All right, so God has a tendency of just like throwing stuff at us, and sometimes we think we're not strong enough to deal with it, and sometimes you feel like God is saying, after you have beat it, after you have dealt with it, it's like God is saying, "See, I told you so." It's like you done dealt with this situation. It's like, man, I didn't never think I was going to be able to deal with that. I didn't never think I was going to be able to beat that. And like, God has more faith in you than what you have faith in you. So here's what, if you don't mind, I want to pray for you real quick. I just feel like there's a call on your life, and you feel like it's bigger than you. But God made you bigger than whatever he planned for you to do. So at this point in your life, I believe that you're fully equipped to do whatever God has called you to do. And we have to, you know, the Bible says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. And I know that sounds kind of like, well, what is the spirit?
That's been like a real overcome to me because I lost a child in 2007.
So, like you said,
isolated. I isolate myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes I won't even go sit outside on my porch.
So we're going to pray for that because the spirit of fear is nothing but the mentality of fear. It's the way we think. But when I first came on, the scripture said, God said, whatever those things are good, whatever those things are lovely, he said, think on these things. What he's saying is, change the way you think.
Mm-hmm.
If you have a thought that isn't good, God is saying, now replace it with a thought that's about me. For everything you doubt, replace it with a thought that you overcame. And it doesn't have to be something big. It could be, I messed up yesterday, but I woke up this morning to make it again. I didn't think I could do that, but guess what? I did it. So change the way you think. Replace those thoughts, those negative thoughts, replace it with something that God has done for you. And when you replace your thoughts, the mentality or the spirit of fear can't live there because you've already been said what God has done in your life. You've declared what God has done in your life. Doubt and faith can't live in the same body. So I'm going to pray for you real quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this young lady who got on the line, who boldly said, hey, this is what I'm dealing with. I deal with isolation. I deal with anxiety. And I deal with you. So, God, we ask that you show her that she's everything you need her. God, you begin to speak to her, talk to her, encourage her, uplift her. And, God, you begin to create a support system around her that will begin to say the same things. God, we ask that you change her mind. Replace those negative thoughts with thoughts of you, that she may do that the work that you've called her to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
All right, dear. You take care, all right?
Thank you so much. You too.
Thank you. All right. All right. Once again, anybody could call in. You know, it's almost time to close. I wish there were more people calling in, and there probably are. And there's a lot of people listening. But right now, I need to call our pastor, Pastor Toy, on. She's going to give the updates for everything that's going on with PKN Network. Pastor Toy, are you with me? Praise God. When she gets on, she's going to update you. But before then, I just thank God that we are definitely want to be a lighthouse for those who are listening to PKN. Every there's a special show for you to listen to, catch it at any time. You can also get online, blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom, and you can listen to the shows aired, and you can always hear a word from God online. You can come in, comment, talk to us. I'm also on social media, and you can reach me at Arthur Burgess III, Facebook, Arthur_Burgess_ the 3RD on Instagram. Contact me, and I'll pray with you. I have no problem with just answering questions and being there with anybody. And if there's any special events, just let me know. We can share them on the air. God bless you. All right. And then when Pastor come on.
We thank God, we bless God, we praise God for the word that has gone forth this afternoon. We praise God for the prayers that have gone forth this evening. We praise God for Reverend Arthur Burgess III, this awesome, anointed, mighty man of God, and just for the outpouring of his obedience to God that he brings to us twice a month. But we have a surprise coming up. You will be able to hear from Reverend Burgess every other Monday, as well as on every other Tuesday. On those Mondays, God has blessed it that he will be doing a Bible study, and we will be able to join in and hear that. So we thank God for that and just what God is doing with him and through him. And we thank God for you out there, our listening audience, and we encourage you, if you gave your life to Christ this evening, to find the Bible believing, teaching, preaching sanctuary where you can grow in the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and heal from the trials and the tribulations of this world. But if for some reason you cannot, bless God, that is why he has Purpose Kingdom Network here for you. Please join us tomorrow evening for another episode of Purpose Kingdom Network right here on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. We will be broadcasting at the 9 p.m. hour. You can follow us on Facebook as well as on LinkedIn at Purpose Kingdom. We are on Instagram and Twitter at Purpose_Kingdom. Please feel free to email any comments, questions, suggestions, or concerns to us directly at PurposeKingdomNet@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you, to pray with you, and to pray for you. Please know that we love you with the love of Christ. Thank you for joining in to our 970th episode with the Healing Hour and the host, Reverend Arthur Burgess III. Reverend Art, the ministry is back in your hands.
Amen. Thank you for those announcements. I can't do the announcements. That's why I always call somebody else to do it. They do it so much better than me. So I just thank God for everybody, for that caller. God bless you. Let the Lord use you in every way, and keep yourself surrounded around people who will tell you nothing but the word of God. Even when you don't want to hear it, keep yourself around people who will tell you nothing but the word of God. Amen. So we're going to close out in prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for everyone who is listening, that they may not just hear the word, but they will do the word, and then they will share the word. So God, as we begin to move on into other parts of our lives and move on to other things, God, let that word stay in our heart, that no matter what, you'll be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Devil wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.
Yeah, I got